Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bethel Covenant Church podcast, where we host the latest sermons and other programming. You can also visit us on Facebook and YouTube to watch videos of our sermons, checking up with the latest updates, and to view further programming. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website at bethelcov.org. Thank you for listening to this program.
Some of God's word for us here this morning, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Jesus talking. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Leanne, we are glad that you are here, and we look forward to what you have for us. Please help me welcome Leanne up to share the message.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. It is very good to be here and to see so many faces. It was almost a year ago that I was here last time, I think. So I've been here since January 5th, and I go back on Friday, February 2nd, and I am looking forward to going back to Ukraine. I celebrated 20 years of living in Ukraine in July, so it's hard to believe. It's been 20 years already, and I just want to say thank you to Bethel Church, to you guys as a church family, because you have been with me from the very beginning of that time, and God has done so much, and obviously right now, we're very thankful. Me especially, but all of our team is thankful for all the prayers that you pray for us, all the support that we get, because it is going to meet people on the front lines of this war, people who are suffering, people who are in need, and even donations like these hats and mittens and scarves. It's a touch point. You know, when we're able to give that to someone, it just opens the door for us to share about Jesus Christ with them, which is the most important thing. And it's been almost 2 years since this war began, February 24th, 2022. So it's been a long time, and people are tired. And I know people are tired of hearing about it in the news, but it's our daily life. And even there, you know, strong Christians, they get tired, they get worn down. So I ask you, please do not stop praying, especially for the church, because we are there as the hands and body of Jesus Christ. We are his feet. We are his mouth. We are the ones who are able to shine our light on those who are in such desperate need at this time. And we need encouragement. We need to see this war come to an end. And, you know, politically, people ask me all kinds of questions, and I say, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to end. It has to be soon. But the only thing that I can tell you is that Jesus Christ is our King. And we are part of his kingdom. We live for him, and that's the only thing that matters, no matter what the name of our nation is, no matter what freedom and laws that we have, whether it allows us to have freedom of religion or not. We are there because we love Jesus and we love the people in front of us, and we will do whatever it takes to see the kingdom of God come and his ways advance in Ukraine. And in just a moment, we're going to watch a video, if we can get that ready. And as you watch this video, we're going to watch in just a minute, but just think about these faces and think about these are people that you have prayed for, that your finances have helped in physical ways, because people have lost everything, but also in spiritual ways. They are getting what they truly need, which is the hope and life and love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because, you know, it's when you're faced with people who have lost everything, we can have all the words, we can have all the knowledge from books, but it doesn't matter. Because what they need is the touch of the Holy Spirit. What they need is the love of the Father. Because he is the one who can always provide the exact thing that they need in that moment. And that is what we are as his children. We are vessels that carry his presence, his word, his power, his wisdom, so that no matter what situation you face, you can be the peace of God. You can be the presence of God wherever you are. You don't have to be the smartest person. You just have to be an available person. A person who's available to love, to touch. And this last year, I mean, it's been, you know, 2 years of war. And we're still 80 miles from the front lines in Krivoy Rog, where I live. So we hear a lot. We've seen a lot this last year, since I've been gone another time. We've had severe missile strikes in our cities. And the first time it happened, it hit an apartment building. And our team, I mean, I'm so thankful for our team from our True Hope Center, because it was just like, within an hour, everyone was there. We were making sandwiches. We were making coffee. We got bottles of water, and we were ready, and we went out to the missile strike site. And I mean, all the people from the building were being taken care of by the government, but all of the emergency workers were, they had been there for hours, and they were going to be there for hours. And they were just so thankful they could come, and we just were able to give them a moment of peace. We were able to pray with many of them, just, God, give you strength. God, give you peace. And they took those cups of coffee and those sandwiches, and it was just what they needed, you know, in that moment. And they're like, who are you guys that you think about us? And we're like, we're just people who love Jesus, and we just want to be here shining in this darkness right now. And we were behind this building, and so at one point I walked around to the front where the missile had actually hit. And I mean, you see things in movies, but when you see them with your own eyes, it's an entirely different thing. It's, you can't put it into words. You know, it is awful. It is evil. And as I looked at that building, there was a swing set still intact, and there was this girl sitting on the swing set. She was about 13 years old, and she was in shock. I could see she was in shock just looking at the building. So I went and sat by her, and you know, I just said, just started talking to her, and she said that she lived in the building right next door. Like, you know, it's just a courtyard between them. And she said, I don't understand. She said, here my family, our windows were blown out, but my family were still fine. And here are my neighbors, and they've lost everything. Sorry, I don't mean to cry. But it is, you know, it really, it's a 13-year-old girl who has to tell you things like this. And so I just sat there, and I hugged her, and then I asked her if I could pray for her, and she said, yeah, I don't know how to pray. Please pray. So we prayed, and then, you know, she was crying, and she just said, thank you. She said, I just feel this something inside, because that was Jesus, even there in the midst of the tragedy. He can touch people's lives. And as we responded to more of these missile strikes throughout the year, at one moment I was like, oh, we're getting so good. And, you know, our team just gets together and everyone knows what to do. And then at the same time, I thought, how terrible is this, that this is something we have to be experienced at, responding to missile strikes. No one should have to go through that. But in the midst of all this tragedy, we've seen God do so much. He truly can use anything, even things that the devil designed for evil to destroy us. He can use for his glory and for his good. We have seen so many people come to Jesus who would never have had their hearts open to hear the gospel before. Because the reality is, when you have lost your home, and some of them, it's not even just their home and their possessions, their entire village is wiped out. They have nothing to go back to, ever. It's gone. And even then, we can just love them and let God love them. And some of them finally can come and understand that, yes, it's painful, it's terrible, but the most important thing is that I will have eternity with Jesus. Because that's what really matters. When we can offer that, that's the only thing that matters, even in the midst of all that tragedy, is that Jesus Christ is the answer for whatever your situation, whether it's sickness, illness, disease, or in the midst of a war where you lose all of your earthly possessions. Jesus is real, and Jesus is all that matters. And that's what we get to do there. And we've been doing trauma seminars with some of the people who have come to us. And we are our center is a humanitarian aid point. So in the beginning of the war, there was lots of humanitarian aid. But because we're so close to the front lines, we still have so many people coming to us in need. Like, you know, people that you do, it's your home. You don't want to give up. You hold on to the very end. So eventually people realize, no, we need to leave because we're too close to the front lines. So we're always getting new evacuees, refugees, displaced people, whatever you want to call them. And we're one of the last places distributing aid. And so it's like they come to us, and we are only able to give one bag of groceries to these families a month. But even that little bit is such a big help, because every week we have over 250 families. So like every month, 1,000 families we're helping. And just with that one bag of groceries, again, it's an open door. They see that people care about them, and we get to tell them that there's a whole bunch of Americans that are supporting them. That's how we're able to buy this food. I spend like $1,000 every 3 weeks just buying food. And you know, and it's just even that, they're like, oh, people haven't forgotten about us, people care about us. And when they come onto the territory where our building is, so often they don't want to leave, because they say there's something here. They sense the peace of God. It's real. It's tangible. It's not just words in a book, but it's real. And they want to be there with us, because they say, you know, it's just for a moment, it's like, I found rest. Just for a moment, I found rest. And so many of them have come to us, to our church at different times. And some of them are regular members of our church now. Some of them work for us in our building, actually. But you know, it's just these people, these precious people who have lost so much. And I get to stand before them sometimes and just humbly share that there is a Savior for their souls, who cares for them, who was with them every step of the way, who saw everything that happened to them, who knows everything, who heard every sound, who's heard every explosion. He knows. And he is with you right now. And he is there to bring comfort and peace that only he can bring. And that's what I can tell you from living in a war zone is he is the true Prince of Peace. You know, we know that verse of scripture that, you know, his peace passes all understanding. And until you're in a place where you need that peace, you don't really understand it. And I can testify that his peace is more powerful than anything we've ever known because, yes, I feel like I'm safe because that's where Jesus wants me to be. Where else should I be? If God has called me to be in Ukraine at this time, that's the safest place for me, even though I'm 80 miles from the front line, even though, yes, we have air raid sirens constantly, 5-6 times a day. Normally, that's my biggest problem is that I'm trying to buy things like humanitarian aid, and the air raid sirens start, and you have to leave your carts, you have to leave the store, and it's like, you're just like, okay, God, do I try and wait? Is it going to be 20 minutes? Is it going to be 5 hours? That's the thing that bothers me the most, is I end up waiting outside of stores a lot for air raid sirens to stop. But anyways, even when you hear the explosions, which we do, like back in July, there was a scary night. It was, because I sat in my bathroom for a couple hours at 2 a.m. because it was. Things were being, drones and missiles were being shot very close to my house. The windows were shaking. I didn't want to get hit with glass if my windows burst, you know? So I was by there. And even then, it's like my body was shaking because it is. When you hear that, your body reacts. It's a fear. It's that flight or fright reaction. But even in the midst of that, even in that moment, I was like, I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. Like, so even though my body is shaking, I know I'm okay because I'm where God wants me to be. That's the power of God. And in whatever situation you're in, I'm telling you, whatever you are facing today, the same thing is true. That same power is available to you that even when you don't know what tomorrow brings, you can be at peace knowing that you are walking with Jesus Christ and that wherever he goes and you go, everything's going to be okay. Because he is with you. It will not be easy, I can tell you. It will not be easy, but it will be okay. So you see, that's our lives. It's war, but at the same time, we live a normal life, sort of, you know, the life we've gotten used to. We have children's camps. We have women's ministry. We have all these things going to the men's homes, the women's homes, doing evangelism on the street. A new church building we opened, our church building. So, I mean, even in the middle of war, it's like, God, all these things are still happening. So we try and have as much of a normal life as possible, but we're still faced every day with the reality of what's going on around us. And just briefly about Pastor Max and Amanda, I know many of you get my newsletters, and so you're asking about what's going on with him in his court trial. We just call him our Apostle Paul because he has dealt with illnesses, he's been beaten up, and now he's being unjustly accused of unrighteousness. And so we believe the trial is going to happen in February. Please keep praying. Pray it begins and ends quickly. He's had about 5 hearings before different judges. Every time they've been on his side. So we just feel like, you know, God is on his side. Everything's going to be okay. But it'll just be nice for this one more stress to be over with. And he won Man of the Year in December for the state that we live in because of all the humanitarian work that we're doing. So, I mean, it's clearly that God is on his side, but it would just be great for this to finally be over. So please keep praying for them. So my big news for this last year, I could have never imagined a year ago that I'd be standing here telling you that I'm engaged, let alone to a Ukrainian who is a soldier in this war, who doesn't speak English, and that I met him, he's part of my home church in Ukraine. That was the last place I ever imagined I would find a husband. But God knows us better than we know ourselves, I can tell you that for sure. That, I mean, I knew I was going to serve the Lord wherever he wanted me to go, but I remember praying in Bible school that I didn't want to learn Russian. So I said, please, anywhere except a Russian-speaking nation. So what language do I speak? Russian. And I'm learning Ukrainian now as well. And again, I said probably 10,000 times I would never marry a Ukrainian. But I'm so glad that God doesn't listen to us and our own little things that we say, that he knows you so much better than you ever know yourself. And yeah. God just brought us together, and we look forward to building our lives together. But his name is Artyom Sherbina, and he's supposed to be watching, right? Hi, Artyom. So anyways, please pray for him. We're praying for his release from the army. He's been serving since the fourth day of the war, so it's been almost 2 years. He has reasons to be released, so we're just praying that God will do this and then we can actually plan our wedding and our future together. But he is a wonderful man who has a heart for God and a heart for evangelism. Everywhere he goes, he's just talking to people about Jesus. He's been in the hospital recently, and there he's like reading the Bible to this guy, calling another guy on the phone. He's just always talking about the Lord, so that's why I love him. He's a really good man, but God has protected him. So we know that no matter what happens, even if things don't go as we want them to go, which is we hope he's released and we can plan our lives, even if we still have to wait longer, we know that God is faithful. And we've seen it over and over and over again. And he himself needs to write a book because of all the things he has seen in this war and how God has protected him. I just want to tell you one story, which was when we first started talking back in March and April. He was being sent to Bakhmut, which if you ever watched the news, that was like the hot word for many months, for like 10 months. It was the battle for Bakhmut. And at that time, everyone was dying. So that's why he started writing to me, because he said he didn't want to go there without telling me how he felt about me. Isn't he sweet? Anyways, so he goes to Bakhmut, and it's like there's like 300 guys in a brigade. They got there, the first brigade goes in, and they were all gone within an hour. The second one goes in within 6 hours, they're all gone. And so their officer said, in the morning you guys are going. And he had been with like this group of guys since the beginning. There was like 13 of them in his little troop or band or whatever they're called. And so in that moment, faith arose in him, and he looked at them and he said, God is with me, and because you were with me, you're not going to die. And so they went in the morning, and 6 days later, 17 men walked out 15 miles through landmines and everything, and every single one of those guys survived. They were wounded, but they survived. That is the power of God. And even in that battle, at one moment, he said, Artyom said, he was the closest to a landmine that exploded, and he was right next to it, and he was not hurt. But the guys behind him were seriously injured. So it's like, you know, it's like the hand of God just came down right upon him, even in that moment, and saved his life. So I know that no matter what happens, that God is faithful. And if we will just choose to honor him with our lives, the supernatural can happen. You know, it is real. It's not just some fantasy. But when Jesus died and went to heaven, he made a way for us. He opened the floodgates of heaven. He says, everything you need is now available to you. So when you pray, it's not just saying words. It's not just trying to make yourself feel better to say that hopefully someday something is going to pray. But you're praying with the power of God. You're praying with the Spirit of God. Your words have power. So when you pray, believe, because things happen. You are here on this earth not to just be overwhelmed by the evil and by the sin, but you are sent here as his ambassadors on this earth, to be the light that shines in the darkness, like we read in that verse. To be the ones to say that I am a living testimony that Jesus is alive. I know who he is. I know where I'm going one day. And I know that what is happening in your life, this is not from the Lord. This is what the enemy has created for evil, to destroy you. But I know someone who can set you free once and for all, who can bring hope and life to your heart, even in the most difficult situation. At one point during this war, one of our guys from our church was injured. So they sent him into the prisoner of war camp. So what was he doing? He was there preaching to the Russian soldiers in the prisoner of war camp. Loving your enemies. You know, this is who we are called to be. The hands and feet of Jesus. Wherever you go, let your light shine. Because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. What does that mean? That Jesus is more powerful than anything. And I stand here today as a girl from this town, from Ellsworth, who all I did was say yes to Jesus. And I encourage you today, do not sleep while the light is still shining. Do not waste your lives on things that are unimportant. I beg you. I beg you. I see it in Ukraine every day. You know, especially, okay, Ukraine is known for what? For alcoholism, yes. And especially during war, people are trying to avoid the hurt and the pain. And I see that even here, not just with alcohol, but even good things. You know, we can be listening to podcasts, we can be listening to worship music, TV, exercise, it can be sports, it can be anything. But if you give your life, most of your energy, to the things that are unimportant, what will we have to show for it at the end? It doesn't mean that you have to go to another country like me. It just means you have to be faithful with whatever God gives you. That's all he asks you. Just be my child wherever you are. Forgive, love, be an ambassador of peace. I love that. In Corinthians, it says that. You are here as an ambassador of peace. You do not belong to this world. If you have received Jesus as your Savior, you are no longer just a citizen of America or a citizen of this earth. You are a citizen of heaven. You need to remember that. That is where you belong. You live by the laws of his land, not just by the laws of this land that you're living in, where your feet are, but from heaven. And you are here as a foreigner, as someone who doesn't speak the language of this world to say, I know the truth. I know the hope and the life. I want to pray for you. I'm going to love you. You can hate me as much as you want, but I'm going to keep praying because I know that deep inside that hate is coming from somewhere, from some pain from your past. And I'm going to keep praying for you and loving for you until I see change happen. Because that is what God does. There is no person on this earth that is too far gone for the salvation of Jesus Christ. That is the truth. You may think, well, Leanne, you don't know my family. You don't know what has happened to them. You don't know the terrible things they've done or the sins they've committed. I'm telling you, Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price for sin once and for all. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than anything on this earth. It has the power to set you free. In an instant, and it can happen in an instant. Whatever you struggle with today, bring it to the Lord. It says in Galatians or Ephesians, Oh, yeah, 5:13, look. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. That's like the lie of the enemy. He tells you, nobody can know about this. You are too bad. No one can relate to you. No one has the same problems as you. You are just the most evil person. Like, who do you think you are calling yourself a child of God? The enemy hates that when we become Christians. He hates that, you know, we have an eternal life with him. But he wants to stop you from being effective on this earth in any way. He doesn't want you to influence anyone else with the gospel of Jesus. He says, fine, I've lost you to heaven, but I don't want you to bring anyone else with you when you go. But it's like we're afraid to tell people. We're afraid to ask for help. We're even afraid so many times we think, if I don't even acknowledge it, it's just going to go away. But I'm telling you, it's not. It's not. But if you will take the step of faith and bring it to the Lord and say, Jesus, this is where I'm struggling. Jesus, this is where I've sinned. Jesus, this is where I don't know the answer. This is where there's chaos in my life. Please help. I don't know what to do. I can't do this on my own. Just surrender it to him. When you bring it to the cross, then he can bring freedom. He can bring healing, even into the worst memories, even into the worst things that have happened. He can bring freedom and healing. I won't say that you're going to forget it, but I'm going to say you're going to become stronger because it won't cause you pain anymore. He will bring freedom. And then, you have the power to speak to other people going through the same thing that you have been through. And you can say, there is light on the other side. I've been there, and there's light on the other side. This is who we are called to be on this earth, lights that shine on the hill. Do not hide yourself under a basket, but let your light shine before all men so that they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And even right here, so many people are dying without Jesus, especially in this day and age. It does scare me. I think, Jesus, I don't know when you're coming back, but probably sometime soon. Because you look, we distract ourselves. I know I read a book recently about silence and solitude, and they did a study with 200 students and professors at a university here in America, and all they asked them to do was sit in a room by themselves for 25 minutes without their devices, without their cell phones. All they had to do was sit there for 25 minutes, and if they couldn't do it or didn't want to, they could press a button and get a painful electric shock, not just a little, but I mean, it was painful. They said it was painful, so you had to be ready for the pain. 80% of the people chose to take the shock than to sit in silence for 25 minutes. People are terrified of silence because in the silence, we have to face ourselves. In the silence, we have to face those things we've been trying to like placate and medicate away that we don't want to acknowledge, But because we're Christians, we don't have to be afraid of the silence, because you're never alone. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, he's with you there in the silence. And in that moment, he can say, hey, can we bring this to the light right now? Can we talk about this? Can I take this burden from your life? Because I know you've been carrying it a long time, and I want to bring healing. I want to bring healing. I've created you to be victorious. I don't want to see you beaten down. I don't want to see you just trying to hang on until your last day, but I want to see you glorious and victorious. So I know this was painful, and this wasn't me. So can we pray about this? Can I touch your heart here? Can I bring life to this pain so that every morning and every night you're not just thinking about it constantly, but you'll find true peace for your soul finally? That's what he's offering to you. That's who the God that I serve is. He's not just a book. I learned that long ago. He's not just a book. It's not just good advice. It's not just wise words to live by. It is the only thing to live for. It is life. It is bread. It is the water that we need. And if you're looking for it somewhere else, I ask you today, just as a daughter of God, just as someone who is your sister in the body of Christ, I ask you, surrender, surrender. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another day. Surrender. Because he is all that you need. Even right now, in this moment of silence, just take a moment. Just take a moment with me and just be with him. Jesus, I thank you so much for your perfect love that casts out every fear. I ask you to fill each and every one of us today with your perfect love, that all fear will be broken off of our lives in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of your blood. Lord, I ask that you pour out peace, true peace, upon us, and rest. Oh, and in that resting, Father, that you would plant your dreams and your visions, Father, that you would open our eyes to see what we can do for you, to see how we can pray, to see how we can love another one. I ask, Lord, for there to be restoration of families in this church. I ask, Lord, for there to be restoration of bodies, for there to be healing of souls, Lord God, in this place. That this house would be a house of peace and a house of hope and a house of salvation, Father. That people would come here and they would find the freedom that they need. Because you are the Savior, Jesus, and we rely upon you. You are a good, good Father. And if there is any doubt in this room about your goodness, Lord, I pray that it go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you are good. You are good. I can say that even in the midst of a war, you are good. I thank you, Lord, and I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ with the authority that he's given me. I bless you in the name of Jesus to go forth in his power and his presence, that you would have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to you, to your family, to this area, to your workplace, to your school, whatever it is, that you would have the eyes and ears to hear what God is doing. And that confidence would rise in you. It just takes a little bit to say, I have what you need. Just a word, just a simple prayer sometimes, but that we would truly be your hands and feet, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. And I challenge you, that's my challenge to you. Go and love the one in front of you. That's all he's asking you to do. Just love the one in front of you. And if we do that, it keeps going, it keeps going. Whoever God brings in your path, love them, pray for them, bless them, don't curse them, bless them, and then God can move. So thank you so much for this time. Thank you for standing with us in Ukraine too. I know it's been a long time. Thank you for not forgetting about us. Thank you for being a part of our ministry there. God is doing mighty things because we together, as the body of Christ, are working together as one body and seeing him do mighty things. So thank you so much. Thank you for having me. God bless you guys. Amen.